Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But you already know that because you just listened to our podcast on the Geek History Lesson of the Golden Age Batman, and you're one of our awesome patrons, and you come over here to get more because you need more Batman, and you need the full song of the untimely death of Mr. Jones. So, Mr. Jones... No, we're not doing that. Okay, Ashley, let's talk about the Golden Age Batman. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you mentioned this in the podcast, that you have read some Golden Age Batman previous to my about this in the lesson.
Not as complete as I've read the Golden Age Superman, but I have read it, yeah.
Well, I guess that's still an acceptable answer. So I wanted to know what, based on what you read in the Golden Age and what you know are some of the original elements of this character, you know, why do you think that he's lasted this long? Why do you think that, like we joked before, like everything's better with Batman? He's the most iconic character.
I think it's three reasons.
Okay.
I think it's his look, I think it's his style, and I think that he's basically a villain.
So do you think if he'd been Giraffe Man, he would not have lasted?
I'll put it, okay. We had seen superheroes, right? We had seen the Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
We had seen other people like that. We know Superman's around in this world, okay? Batman 1 is dark, okay? So he's completely the opposite of Superman, right?
In every way.
Yes. But unlike the Shadow, he actually wears a very visually distinctive costume. Because when you think about it, the Shadow basically just looks like a gangster.
He's just like a man in a dark a dark coat and a dark hat and a scarf.
Batman, especially Golden Age Batman, looks like a bat. Like, that cowl is so distinctive. That cape is very distinctive.
You know, that kind of fits into the Matt Groening Simpsons thing about your characters must be able to be distinguished in silhouette.
Yes.
And the Batman silhouette.
Right from the start.
Yeah.
Whereas you can't say that about Superman. Superman just looks like a guy with a cape.
You could, if Superman is posed correctly.
True.
You could.
But at its basis form, Superman's a guy with a cape. Batman's immediately recognizable.
Yeah.
Immediately, right out of the gate. And I think that you could almost say is that Batman's almost the first anti-hero.
Okay.
So he plays on this dark side, right? Because at the first, he shot guys. He threw them out windows.
He threw rocks at people.
Superman in the beginning... yes, he killed people here and there, but it wasn't like on purpose. Whereas Batman flat out
murders people. Yeah.
You know, and I think to the readers, that's something. This guy that looks like a supervillain doesn't look like anybody else I've ever seen killing people. That, I think, was enough to immediately grab people and never let go. And I think that you have this whole generation of these kids that read Batman in the 1940s, right? And I think that when Batman the TV show came in the 60s, you have this whole generation of people that were like, oh, I remember Batman. Here, kids, watch this.
Watch this. I mean, it's nothing like that, but watch this.
And then you have that generation of kids that love that TV show that when a certain movie comes out in 1989 are like, oh, I remember that. Hey, kids, watch this. And then you come around again that when the Christopher Nolan reboots in 2005, almost 20 years later, you have a generation of kids that would be very young with their kids, yes, but still could be like, I remember this. Hey, kids, watch this.
You know, that's so interesting that almost every 20 years, there's kind of a new incarnation of Batman. And obviously, since the animated shows have taken off with the success of the animated series, there's been more and more.
Yeah, and those play right into the Tim Burton generation crowd. But yes, I think that you have to, I think, give major credit to the people that read Batman in the 1940s and the 1950s, because whoever, if they didn't buy it, it wouldn't have lasted. It would have gone away.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Their popularity, their remembrance of this character, and I think, again, for those elements that I told you, put enough of a fish hook in them to last until the Batman TV show.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
We talked at the top of the lesson about Batman's look a little bit, and we talked about how he looks more like the actual bat animal than what his costume has become. And we talked about the purple gloves and how iconic they are.
I love those damn purple gloves.
So do I. Is there something else, either visually or from the storytelling style and who Batman was in the Golden Age, that you would like to see returned or reprised or updated?
You know, I don't know. That's tough because he is a murderer. So I don't want him to be a murderer again.
He's not not a murderer now, though. He'll let you die, but he won't kill you.
Not in the comic books. No, in the comic books, he doesn't let anybody die. That's an important fact. Like, he will, if the Joker gets knocked over a building, Batman will shoot a grappling hook at him and save him. That has happened so many times. Like, Batman doesn't kill no matter what. He will save you because he doesn't believe that death is an answer in any form. I don't know. That's tough because, to be honest with you, there's not a character distinction in Batman in the Golden Age that I think we're really missing.
Interesting.
I don't know, because I don't think he, I will say this, he is more polite. I mean, I don't think I want a gentleman Batman. I don't really think I want that. I will say that I think that Batman being a dick, which is definitely a modern tenet of Batman, probably since Frank Miller. I think Frank Miller is probably the person who introduced that. I don't need Batman to be a dick anymore.
You need a happy medium between the two?
Yes. I will say that I think that this Batman is very driven, the Golden Age Batman, and I think that that character tenet still holds true. He is very driven. Because you look at these Golden Age stories, right? He finds out about, you made the point that he finds out about these women that are being robbed, and he's very determined to stop these rich women from being robbed.
Right. He sees what he perceives as an injustice, and he chases it down until he fixes it.
And that's very current of Batman right now.
Yeah, he's very tenacious.
You know, to be honest with you, I think that Batman, I would say, is very funny. Of the Golden Age characters, is probably the most similar.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of difference.
At the core, yes.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of difference between Golden Age Superman and modern day Superman.
There's a lot of finessing there.
Yes. But Batman, I can't really say anything. I will say, you know what? I will say, I would love to see Batman kind of go back to fighting some supernatural things instead of crime.
You want some more werewolves?
Yeah, I would love some, because you kept bringing up the cult thing, and I think that, oh man, the cult thing is a very interesting thing
that's
for Batman to fight.
Something that I think you can fill with a character who I think is difficult to write well, with a character like Man-Bat.
Okay.
Because Man-Bat is a character that's really easy to make foolish.
Well, Man-Bat has a lot of ties into Batman simply for their look.
Right. But he's science-based, so that kind of fits into your nice modern world. But you can do a lot of symbology with him, like if you fought him in a church, or if that's where he went to seek sanctuary. Like, I think that that's where you could introduce a lot of stuff like that. But the cult stuff, I feel like the Teen Titans dealt a lot with, like, the Brother Blood cult.
Well, Batman has fought a lot of cults. You kept bringing up Batman and the cult. Cults have not been forgotten. But yeah, it would be interesting to see some supernatural, more Batman stuff. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to see.
Well, you got to read Gotham Academy for that.
There you go. But actually Batman. Fighting the supernatural.
If DC wanted to do something like this, would you be interested in seeing an ongoing, maybe a comic strip told in this style where we were revisiting these Golden Age characters?
Yes. Flat out. I mean, there's no answer. Yes. I actually think it would be interesting. I mean, that's sort of what The New Frontier was.
Yeah. And New Frontier was very successful, and it was a very successful movie.
There's also a series called, oh God, what's the name of it? Brian Azzarello wrote it, and it was First Wave. And it was they brought all these pulp characters. They had, like, Doc Savage. They had The Shadow. They had a couple others. And Golden Age Batman with guns was in that series.
Oh, really?
It's a very Brad Meltz. No. Was it? It was Brad Meltzer, I think, that wrote the first miniseries. Not Brian Azzarello. But they did a first 60-issue miniseries where you see Batman with guns with Doc Savage and The Shadow. And there's another character in there I can't remember. The Spirit. The Spirit's in there, too. And I like that miniseries. And then they launched from that a Spirit miniseries. They didn't do a Golden Age Batman, though, although I wish they had. They did a Doc Savage, and I think they did The Shadow. If you're looking for that, that's what you should read. DC, I think, has lost the rights to The Shadow and Doc Savage now.
Yes, they have.
But that miniseries, that trade is hard to find. I loved it at the time. I read it live. Because seeing Batman with the purple, they give him purple gloves and they give him guns.
Yes.
I would love to see that. You know what? I think the perfect thing to do it as a digital comic, give it to Darwin Cook.
I was gonna say, if I had my druthers, I would build an app where you got a comic strip every week, and you could select based on probably a payment level how many of them you wanted to receive. So every week you have, like, a Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then if you want to do like your Charleston heroes, so you can either just read the Batman if that's what you want, or you can read all of them, and then they would slightly tie together so that you could get more out of it.
But you also need to throw in there a World's Finest where there's a strip where they all team up.
Sure, yeah, or that's or that yeah, and everyone mm-hmm. gets World's Finest, and you can read as many of the other characters as you want.
Yeah,
I think.
But it's like a Sunday strip. It's like a 4-panel strip.
Yeah. Nice. Like you're Charlie Brown, and then you know you get your gag at the end.
I think set it at like you know. 75 cents
yeah.
a week, done.
Yeah. Or if you buy two, you get it for 99 cents.
Yeah.
But I think that because it's really trendy right now to reprint the older stuff, and there is I think there's a huge renewed interest in the past, I would say, 5 or 10 years with the classic.
I love those Golden Age Omnises. They published. Those are great. They're so good.
And the archive editions.
I would love to have the World's Finest one. Because I haven't read much of the World's Finest. Like, that's the one part of the Golden Age that I have. It's that and Wonder Woman that I haven't read a lot.
That's so funny because World's Finest seems so up your alley.
Oh, it is. I've only seen, like, I haven't read. The World's Finest that I've read is the World's Finest in the 70s.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But different.
But, like, the original World's Finest I haven't read a lot. Like, because I've always wanted to read that issue where they're Batman, Superman, or Robin are playing baseball.
Yes.
On the cover. To me, that's such an iconic cover. That's probably, to me, the most iconic cover of all time.
I think that.
And I would love to have like a poster of that. That image is so amazing to me.
It's so American. I earnestly think that that issue is as valuable as it is today because of that cover.
Oh, yeah. It's so memorable. Like that, to have a poster of that, I think would be amazing.
Like you can, I think a lot of comics I would guess the modern age are kind of like that. Like the Rainbow Batman cover's worth a lot of money.
Oh, it's so good.
Because it's got the Rainbow Batman on the cover.
Because the Rainbow Batmans, you know?
You know, and they're making action figures of it now.
I know, it's so great.
I don't know, man. Golden Age Batman.
Well, what was the biggest discovery to you that you made in this research of Golden Age Batman? And I will say that I'm a little jealous because when we first talked about, and we'll tell the listeners, when we first talked about how we were going to do Batman, like how were we going to conquer Batman? I think it was my idea where I was like, what if we split them up into their ages?
Yeah, it was your idea.
Because there's no way we could have covered this all in an hour.
I mean, we could have. It would have been three lessons, but.
Well, no. There's no way we could have covered all of Batman in 1 hour.
Oh, no way.
And we didn't want to do the multiple hour. And again, we also didn't want to like excuse the French, shoot our wad in the first lesson. Like, because Batman's so fascinating. You want to talk about everything of his history. Mm-hmm. Like him in the 50s and the science fiction stuff is going to be so funny.
Yeah.
And when I want to hear the full description of the planet of Zur-En-Arr, where he meets the Batman of Planet X.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because you want to see what it is about these stories that makes them so iconic. Why does Grant Morrison always want to pick on Zur-En-Arr and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So we talked about Golden Age, but what for you about doing this research? Because again, I originally wanted to do both. We realized we were going to do Superman.
You would have died.
I wanted to do both, but man, Superman took me so long.
I knew a bit about the Golden Age Batman. I hadn't read a ton of it, but like I knew that he murdered people.
Yeah, I did too.
Because that's the thing that any comic historian will bring up whenever people bring up the argument of Batman doesn't kill or Superman doesn't kill. And it's like, well, if you go to the Golden Age, they're really, really loosey-goosey with the rules. The thing that surprised me the most was how as soon as you introduce Robin in Detective 39, it's complete. The whole world is there. Mm-hmm. It's not as
and then Alfred shows up pretty quick
finessed.
Too.
Alfred shows up the next year.
Okay,
in 1941. It's obviously not the way that you recognize it, but you're like, oh, this is Batman. This is a caped crusader who lost his parents. He lives with his war.
Yeah,
they go
crime
fighting.
Yeah, this is basically it.
And then there's the costumes. So,
and it's impressive to say that for Batman. It's impressive to say that near 74 years. It's there.
The changes are stylistic, really. They're just an evolution of the time. It's not like...
And an evolution of the storytelling.
Yes, and the medium. It's not just, like when we did Jessica Drew, like in Spider-Woman's original appearance, she's straight up like a lady who's a giant spider.
Well, every 5 years, they like completely change her storyline.
Yeah, yeah. And then a detective and then she's a bodyguard. Like Batman is set by 1940. Like, that's insanity. The other thing that I found, I guess, kind of surprising is that I don't think of Batman necessarily as a social crusader, but I think of Batman as being very aware of like class differences and standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves, because it's a modern tenet that his father's a philanthropist and that they care about their city and they're trying to help Gotham. Golden Age Batman is kind of like Prince John's. Like the Sheriff of Nottingham, like he's looking out for his own kind.
Golden Age Batman is definitely the 1%.
Yeah, utterly.
And he cares about the 1%. And that is a very distinct difference between Batman and Superman at the time, because Golden Age Superman really cares about poverty. And stuff,
because he's the guy from the heartland.
But I think also that might be a difference. And again, I don't know Bill Finger's background.
Yeah.
But I will say that Bob Kane, and the reason why Bob Kane's name appeared on all those comic books for years mm-hmm. was because when he got his DC contract, he had his father, who was a very successful lawyer, look it over. And his father noticed some stuff and rewrote the contract. And that's the reason why. And part of that contract was, anything Batman has to say created by Bob Kane. Bill Finger at the time was hired by Bob Kane and didn't have
the same contract.
That's the reason why. And also, that also is, I think, the reason why for a long time, Superman comics didn't say created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
I mean, it took a giant lawsuit for that to happen.
And that was in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Which was spearheaded by Neil Adams.
Yeah.
That was the and it was the movie too, because it was the movie where people were like, shouldn't we give these guys some credit?
I mean, we paid them $130, we could put their name on the screen.
Yeah, shouldn't we put their name on the screen? So again, Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster, poor kind of fellas, and Bob Kane, not so poor. So that could the different class yeah. is already there.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So
I also think it's a lesson too in you should give credit where credit's due or you're going to get some bad PR.
I think
even if it's 40 years later.
I think in any media, I think there is obviously a discussion about, you know, where does rights break down? And to our listeners on Patreon, I mean, they'll eventually find out about this. You and I are working on a comic book right now with an artist.
That's true.
And we actually just had that discussion mm-hmm. about where did the rights break down and then what percentage and stuff like that. And we won't reveal like what it was, but we did give a very big, even though the story was all ours, we did give a very big percentage to our artist.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what we do with this character and where it goes or whatever, we will say created by all three of us.
Yeah. Because especially with comics, it's a visual medium. So, you know, writing is only half the battle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, our artist is definitely going to get huge credit wherever this goes. If it doesn't happen or whatever.
Well, it'll happen in some form or another.
Yeah, yeah. They'll eventually see this thing. Because we will reveal, and, like, we'll probably have people on our patron listeners who
cryptic.
Are...
Cryptic!
We saw our fully colored and lettered pages the other day, and holy cow.
Oh, man, it was exciting.
It was an awesome moment. But Batman, yeah. Mr. Jones. Do you want to see that Soulful song?
Yeah,
I do. Death of Mr. Jones. That's Country Roads, by the way, if you can't tell.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mr. Jones.
If you, our dear listeners, would like to hear the full Mr. Jones,
you know
Untimely
what?
Demise of Mr. Jones.
I'll tell you what. We don't. I put these posts out on Patreon. And I want to see your engagement. We have about 100 patron donators.
I love you.
We love you all. But we don't see much comments on our posts on Patreon. And I'll tell you what. If I see 10 comments on this Geek History
Only
Lesson Extra
10?
Post, 10, I will write the full a 2-minute song of The Untimely Death of Mr. Jones. I will gladly do it, and I will make it a download for all of our friends over at the...
over on Patreon.
Over on Patreon. Now, it may take some doing. I'll have to go talk to a friend of mine, or I'll have to find a piece of music that I can fit Mr. Jones on it. So it might not sound exactly like this Mr. Jones, because that's Country Roads, and I can't copy that.
Yeah, yeah.
although, maybe that might make it easy to do the acoustic track of Country Roads, and then I just put my words over it.
Well, you could.
So we'll see. But if I see 10 comments on this post on Patreon, I will make... The Untimely Death of Mr. Jones.
Wow.
So there you go.
All right. So get to commenting because yep. I want to hear it.
There you go. So that's it for this Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
See ya, monkeys.